السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسائل الدرر الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Imagine being in مكة المكرمة in the early days where Muslims have no place to collectively come together and worship. The only place where Muslims were collectively put together was at a place on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah, where only the most weakest, the most vulnerable, and the most simple people were gathered, not for the sake of worship, but only for one reason, and one reason alone, and that is they were placed there as a torture display. The weakest, most vulnerable people, and this has been the practice of the Abu Jahls and the Namruds and the Pharaohs in history, that they first always target the most weakest and vulnerable people of society. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ. Allah says in the Quran, this was the practice of the people of the past. They always showed their force on the weakest and the most vulnerable members of the society. The killing of innocent children, the killing of women, the killing of elderly people. This has been the trait of every tyrant ruler, and this will continue to happen until Qiyamah. We've seen it in the past. The Quran speaks about it. We're seeing it today. And we know that this is going to be the weak planning, we call it. The weak planning of every tyrant ruler. So if I take you back to Makkatul Mukarramah, in the early days where Muslims could not gather in any place, they weren't allowed to. The only gathering you would see at the outskirts, and this was no more than a torture display. And if we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to bring your attention to a very specific but painful episode, because we are saying painful episodes, and we must be, are we feeling the pain, or have we stopped feeling any pain? Do we still feel the pain? And maybe we have forgotten, this is why this is a reminder. Maybe we have become immune to it, this is why this is a reminder. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, he was subjected to all sorts of harm, physical harm, psychological torture. They were starved. They were made to go through thirst. And remember, he was rahmatan lil alamin. Rahmatan lil alamin. Imagine the beautiful heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know when you see footage online of the massacre and the genocide that's happening now, and they're pulling out children, men, women from under the rubble, and you're seeing the aftermath of an Israeli missile, and your heart bleeds and it cries. We cry, right? I know we only cry a little bit, but we cry, right? Or are we still crying, or have we stopped crying? Are we still crying, or we've stopped? It's a question I need to ask myself. Do I still cry, or have I stopped crying for what's happening? How can we be so blind? How can we be so blind? How can you say stop talking about this? You know, all week I've been thinking, what shall I speak about in Jummah? Every single day I've thought about it. And whenever I start to think of any topic, and I see what's happening around the world, I've just come to this conclusion, how can I ignore it? I would be doing a great injustice. And Allah will ask me, first of all, before asking you, that you had this pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did you ignore the genocide? Why did you ignore the plight of your brothers and sisters? It's happening in front of you. When non-Muslims, atheists, Jewish people, Christian people in America in thousands can stand and protest outside their universities without any fear of being arrested, without any fear of being suspended from their jobs, without any fear of losing any credibility, Why is it that you and me, as people who claim to be Muslims, we don't want to speak about it in the house of Allah? Why? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was subjected to all sorts of torture. He was rahmatul lil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when we feel pain, this is like a small portion of rahmah. Imagine his heart sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine we are seeing it on video, we are seeing it on WhatsApp, we are seeing on the television, we're seeing on the news. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeing it in front of him live. And there were times where he could not do anything. He was restrained. He couldn't. He wasn't in a position. You know, now we're feeling helpless. Aren't we feeling? We see so much, but we're feeling helpless. That we can't be there. We can't do anything physically. And we feel helpless. Where do we take our guidance from? We come to the seerah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 5 years into the prophethood, Abu Jahl, who was the Fir'aun of its ummah, he decided to escalate the torture carried out against the Muslims. They were already torturing the Muslims. He decided, let me escalate it, take it a notch further, and to harm them even more. Because every single tool that he was using to delegitimize Islam and the Muslims, none of it was working. Like yesterday and the month before, and it's been happening for 200 days, they must have thought all this time, if we bomb the hospitals, maybe they'll stop complaining about the occupation. If we bomb the schools, maybe they'll stop. If we attack the journalists, maybe they will stop. But what's happened? What's happened? This has been a trend. Look, Abu Jahl, he thought that everything I have done up until now to violate the right of Islam and the Muslims, it's not working. Let me try and escalate it and go a step further. And what he does, he decided that he is going to bring the most vulnerable people of society, and those were the weakest people. What he decided to put on a display, a torture display, exactly as you're seeing now, a torture display. And he gathered the people of Mecca, the weakest and most vulnerable, in the most hottest area of Mecca, where the land is burning. There are no trees, there is no shade. And in this area, he got people together. First, he starved them, as is happening to the people of Gaza. He made them go through thirst. And then Abu Jahl, he gathered these people. And specifically, who were these? Ammar radiallahu anhu, Sumayya radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anha, and their child Yasir radiallahu. These were weak, vulnerable people. They were not affluent, they were not famous, they were simple people. And this is where they start their torture from. And they wanted to make it a display for people to see. And Abu Jahl begins his torture. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba knew this was going on, but they were restrained from doing anything. But he didn't ignore it. He would pass from there. He would go past there. And he used whatever was in his capacity at the time. What was in his capacity at the time? What was in his capacity was to use his voice. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam physically couldn't make any changes. But he could use his voice to give words of encouragement and motivation which were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Jahl was torturing Sumayya. Abu Jahl was torturing Yasir. Abu Jahl was torturing Ammar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, imagine how hard it was for him to visually see this. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as he passes from there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say to them, Sabran ala Yasir. Sabran ala Yasir. فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ صَبْرًا آلَ يَاسِرٍ فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ Patience, O people and family of Yasir, stick with it, persevere. Why? Your appointment with is Allah. Meaning Jannah is promised for you. Jannah is promised for you. We give the same message from our masjid to the people of Gaza. صَبْرًا أَهْلَ غَزَّةِ صَبْرًا أَهْلَ غَزَّةِ فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ We say that persevere, continue withstanding as you have up until now, because we know you have been guaranteed paradise. Jannah is yours. All this for nothing? All this for nothing? We are believers. At the end of this, what's going to happen? We know at the end of this, there is bliss. There is comfort. There is a ridha and the pleasure of Allah. There is Jannatul Firdaus. There is a ridwan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will never put you through something and not give you anything in return. No, no, no. They will have jinan. They are the shuhada. Allah is rewarding them, and we know they have to go through this now to get what they want in return. Allah has planned this. Allah has decreed this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Up until now in Makkatul Mukarramah, the torture was severe, but nobody had been killed. Nobody had been killed for the sake of Islam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by and he said, Sabran ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idukumul jannah. Sumayya radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, of course, we will persevere because we want the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Abu Jahl could not shut her mouth, Abu Jahl could not restrain her, Abu Jahl could not withstand her remaining firm with sumud, with sabr on the deen of Allah. Abu Jahl, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, the nasty creation that he was, he took the spear that he had and he threw it in the most private and vulnerable area of this lady, Sumayya radiallahu anha, and she becomes the first martyr in Islam. Sabran ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idukumul jannah. These were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when he felt helpless, at a time when he thought, what can I do? How can I assist the people? He didn't remain silent. He used his words and he used his voice. And at that time, Abu Jahl, as he was torturing, next to Sumayya was another woman. Her name was Zinnira, radiallahu anha. And Abu Jahl began torturing her, persecuting her. And you know, sometimes even the tyrants, they go beyond the limits. Sometimes the people around them tell them, calm down, calm down. You know, you hear these statements coming from the US sometimes, telling Israel, tone it down a little bit. We know it's just words. But even they sometimes are compelled to come onto the world stage and bring out a statement that tone it down a little bit. Sometimes Abu Jahl would go beyond the mark and the people around him would tell him, calm down a little bit. Exactly as he did with this woman. He beat this woman so much. Zinnira radiallahu anha led her to becoming blind. She loses her eyesight. And Abu Jahl's friend said to him, what have you done to this woman? Why have you led her and punished her so much that she's become blind? And Abu Jahl said, I didn't make her blind. It was Allat and Uzza. The idols, they made her blind. Zinnira is a woman. She's barely standing up, being held by a stick. She cannot do anything. She's totally helpless. She has been beaten on the verge of death. And she speaks. And she speaks. And she says, Allah and Uzza don't have any power. All power belongs to Allah. And do you know what happened? Allah restored her eyesight. Allah restored her eyesight. Aren't we seeing such examples in Gaza, where people are in a situation where you feel sorry and you pity on them, but when they're coming out of the rubble and they are saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. They are saying, Allahu maulana wa la maula lahum. Allah is our maula, our protector. They have no protector. They say, we are doing this for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Masjid al-Aqsa. They are being downtrodden and being pushed out of their lands. They have no home. But they are saying, Al-ardu lana. This land is ours. Wal Qudsu lana, Jerusalem is ours. We will never go. Lan narhal. We will never leave here. Despite not having anything left for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. So this is the example we can take from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you come to a stage where even the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam said, Rabbi inni maghloobun fantasir. Oh Allah, we feel overpowered. Oh Allah, we feel overwhelmed. We are feeling helpless. Fantasir. Oh Allah, you please help us. Now remember, every Fir'aun, every Abu Jahl, every tyrant oppressor has made this mistake in the past. They've done it in the past and they will continue doing so. They think by using force, by using aggression, they can break down a people. This is what they think. And this mistake was done by the tyrant rulers and the Firauns and the Pharaohs of the past. And even today they think that if we use brutal force, and we will be able to get rid of them totally and wipe them off the surface of the earth. What ended up happening? What ended up happening? When Abu Jahl thought he was breaking down Islam and the Muslims, what was he doing in reality? He was breaking down his own image. This is what happened. Abu Jahl thought that by me torturing the Muslims, by me swearing at the Muslims, by me setting up torture camps and annihilating them, I will finish off Islam. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They want to extinguish the light of Islam. But remember, whenever any tyrant has done this in the past, what has happened as a result? They've only tarnished their own reputation. He broke down. Any person today with a sense of morality can see things for what they are. There is no one in this world today with a sense of morality who cannot see the real face of the occupation. Everybody can see for what it is. And the more they carry out, the more they will continue to expose themselves. People saw Abu Jahl for what he was. He said he stood up for generosity. Did people see him as a generous person? He claimed to be a moral person. I'm fighting for my own people, the people of Makkah. Did anyone see him as a moral person? To the extent his own brothers, they turned away from him and they accepted Islam. The brothers of Abu Jahl, one real brother, one half brother. Imagine that. Even they abandoned him and they said, we will not accept. And it came to a stage where the same people Abu Jahl was torturing and trying to kill and trying to annihilate and suppress. Eventually what happens? The same individual stands on the chest of Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl, in his final moments, he says to him, who is the victorious one? And he responds, victory belongs only to Allah. And this is how he ended. Victory belongs only to Allah. La ghaliba illallah. These are the words and the sentiments we are hearing from the people of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue feeling the pain of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, why are we trying to mention this? Is so that we can connect to the seerah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went through situations like this where he felt helpless. He didn't sit back. He continued to feel the pain. He used his voice. Use your voice. Shed a tear and have the prophetic hope. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was instilling hope by mentioning this. Sabran ala yasir fa inna maw'idakumul jannah. Now, despite everything that you are seeing around, we are seeing people are accepting Islam in droves. People are coming out onto the streets in droves. People are changing their perception. People are questioning. People are standing up. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the most bleak moment, you know, there was a time when the kuffar of Makkah, they placed the insides of a camel, the gut and the intestines of a camel, on the blessed back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst he's in prostration in sujood. And his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, she comes. She tries to remove it off his back. And he turns and he looks and she's crying. And he says, Fatima, don't cry. Don't cry. Allah is going to help your father. Allah with your father is Allah. With the people of Gaza is Allah. With Palestine, we have Allah. With Muslims, we have Allah. They don't have Allah. That's the difference. They don't have Allah. They can have all the weapons. They can have America's backing. They can have all the taxpayers' dollars and pounds. But one thing they don't have is that they don't have Allah. You are a believer. You are a believer. Ensure that you keep your faith firm. In these testing and challenging days, let us learn to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, we will notice a shift. We will notice a shift. You know, people have already started shifting their priorities. Since this genocide that we're witnessing, haven't many of us shifted our priorities in lives? Haven't we cut down from our luxuries? Haven't we changed? Wasn't this Ramadan slightly different to the Ramadans previous? Isn't that already a shift and a change? We are seeing a shift and a change. In the world, on the global sphere, you are seeing a shift and a change. Islam is spreading. Lives are changing. And if nothing of this means anything to you, the last week's headlines should mean something to you. You are seeing the American student revolution on the campuses of America's universities. Haven't you seen the headlines throughout the week? Isn't this changing? Isn't this a huge change? Isn't this what happened to change the Vietnam War? Study the American student revolution and you will find that this revolution was so effective, it played a major and significant role in ending the Vietnam War early on in the century, in the last century. You also see how effective the American student revolution was in making changes to apartheid South Africa and changing the local and the global policies, and what happened in Britain and the USA in regards to this. We have seen major changes and shifts happening. You know, there is a professor who is qualified in student activism, university student activism in America. That's his job, that's his research, that's his expertise. And all he has studied and all he teaches and all he researches is student activism. And he says, I have studied activism from the early 1900s up until now. And the previous levels of activism, where students came out on college and university campuses and carried out encampment and sit-in protests, they were much more fierce. They were sometimes violent. They would sometimes take over property and building. However, they were not faced with the backlash that they are being faced now. He says this current sit-in protest, which the students of American universities are carrying out, he says this is very peaceful. They have not taken over any buildings. Rather, they are standing outside, protesting peacefully. However, the backlash, the brutal imprisonment, and the treatment of these peaceful protesters, you will see a massive change. He's saying, why? Why the double standards? Why the double standards? There are many protests happening. But why is it when it comes to the issue of Palestine, when it comes to the issue of Gaza, when it comes to the issue of this genocide, which the whole world is witnessing, all they are saying, what is their demand? The students of American universities are saying, ceasefire now. Put an end to the genocide and the killing of innocent men, women and children. Put an end to the starvation. Put an end to the thirst. Why in this day and age do people have to be put through this? And stop arming the occupation. And these companies and our universities that have got ties with those companies arming and they are investing, stop these investments. Change from there. Invest in something else that will help you and benefit you further. This is all they are asking for. And it's within their legal right. It's within their legal right. And what's surprising, that this even shook Netanyahu. Netanyahu was shaken. That from there, from Tel Aviv, he's crying out that look at these people, anti-Israeli protests. He's saying they're anti-Semitic. How is that anti-Semitic? When many of the people protesting are Jewish people themselves. Muslims in the UK, yes, we might be a larger fraction of the community. However, in the USA, Muslims are only a 1%. So most of the people you are seeing in these protests are not even Muslim. But they are calling out. My plea to you is, Allah's not going to ask you on the day of judgment, did you liberate Palestine? Did you put an end to the genocide of the people of Gaza? But Allah will ask you, did you do what was in your capacity? Did you play your role? Tomorrow, in London, there is a demonstration. Again, this demonstration is to stop the war. Is to stop the arms deals, which our country, UK, is also complicit with. They are funding, they are supplying, they are supporting. So this is a protest, a demonstration, a peaceful protest where you will stand side by side with other human beings to fulfill your civil legal right. There's nothing wrong with this. And you will stand and you will march down the streets of London and make yourself seen and make your voice heard. The people of Gaza are watching you. They can see what's happening in the universities. And it's spread now to Paris as well. It's sad that we don't see this in Muslim countries, but whatever it is, maybe they will be inspired by this as well. But what is happening is happening. They are playing their part. My question is, when will you play your role? What is your role? What are you going to do? Are we going to carry on life as normal? Or are we going to make a change? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. So tomorrow, inshallah, the protest will be taking place from 12 p.m. from Parliament Square to Hyde Park. And there are buses going from Birmingham, from the Abrahamic Foundation. There are buses. People can make their own way as well. I know you guys did it all before, and it made a difference. But let's not stop. Let's not stop. I know it's difficult. You know, when you come out of it, we get so used to our life. That's okay. It's okay. We're human beings. We've got our needs. We've got our wants. We're living in a different place. We get on with our lives. But again, let's not forget what's happening. We shouldn't allow it to happen. We shouldn't allow it to happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.